You hungry, man? Holy Shama. You know that Jesus is a life-giving spirit? You can eat his spirit and live. You want to spit out the seeds and the leaven of the Pharisees, because that's just going to produce demonic knowledge of good and evil, which is death. The tree of life is spirit life, spiritual fruit, like the Galatians 5 fruit. It's going to produce righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you eat spiritual nutrients, you're going to grow as a spirit. If you eat like fleshly knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die and live as a fleshly being. It's the wrong death. You want the right death, which is where you're crucified with Christ, and it's not you living anymore, but it's Christ living through you and in you and through you and in you. Oh, Shama. You can eat, you know, anything that doesn't have glory on it, or peace, or joy, or anything of that substance, of the spirit life of God, don't eat that. Just spit it out. Because it's just no good for you. It's not going to help you grow. It's going to stunt your growth and distract you from spirit life. A lot of times Christians will quote scriptures to bind you in shackles, because that's because their mind isn't renewed and they're not speaking spirit. They may be speaking by the wrong spirit. Because the scriptures, you know, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth sets you free to live as spirit, as God lives. He's on his throne manifesting his spirit into all the earth. Hallelujah. So true freedom is resting on the throne, you know, overcoming all the world. You know, he who overcomes will sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sit with my Father in his throne. You know, the overcomers enter into that place of rest. You know, it's a daily overcoming. We overcome in the one who's overcome all. Now, he is our overcoming. It's by faith in him and his faith through us, pushing away all the forces of the world that try to bind us and tie us to this realm. Because whoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're a spirit, you live as a spirit, you'll have spiritual fruit to manifest to prove that you're actually living as a spirit. And Jesus is a life-giving spirit. You know, the second Adam. So, man, I got totally plastered today just scrolling. I watched one video for like a 4-minute clip, and it just boom, all the warfare in my house, like there's people around me who aren't walking with God, it just got washed. Like I didn't have to rebuke anything. This person was just in a place of rest where the God could just flood through like rivers of living water pouring through their face as they just laughed, and it washed away the warfare. And I'm like, man, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. You know, the anointing breaks the yoke. So, like, when the body of Christ is fully submerged in Christ, it just breaks the yoke off of everywhere it goes. It's a river that brings healing wherever it goes. It's the anointing oil that just sets people free from all the bondage of the devil. And so I got pretty stirred up. I didn't want to do anything anymore. I was already, like, I was going to do my P90X, you know, work out a little bit. I'm doing French, Chinese, and Spanish, and all this natural stuff. It's fine. The Bible says that, you know, bodily exercise profits a little. You know, you want to be able to stand, you know, for long, extended periods of time when the heavy glory just rests on you. You don't want to have to, like, you know, die. Your heart gives out or whatever, because you have too many hamburgers and McDonald's is just flooding through your veins instead of the glory, you know. So I do a little bit of bodily exercise and started whatever. But man, exercising righteousness, that's where it's at. The glory. I just didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to sit there and listen to these teachings just wash through me. It's just an airplane flying. When we were driving down here, I'm sitting in my wife's car right now. On her dashboard, it said oil. Actually, it said the time was 7:10, but if you look at it, You know, if you're just from a place of rest, you're just kind of laying, you turn the world back upside down, it says oil. 7:10 is oil. Like that, that's about right. And then I saw this plane. He just heard a plane fly by. It was going through the clouds. It would appear. And then it would disappear into the clouds. And then it would appear. And it would disappear into the clouds. And then it would appear. And then it would disappear into the clouds. Like, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We go into the manifest glory cloud. And then we come out and manifest Christ into the world. And then we just go back into that. It's like you get the goodies and you get to the goodie bag by spending time in the glory cloud with God and the manifest. That's why Jesus would go apart to the mountain and pray. He was going to get blueprints from his Father, and he would come back and just like, okay, you're the disciples. He got the blueprints. You know, that's the way Moses did it. He got the blueprints. You know, that's the way, you know, for the temple, Solomon as well, Noah for the ark. He got the blueprints from God. You know, you don't have to go to like a pastor. You can go right straight to God. You know, Pastor Jesus will give you the blueprints. Or you can just listen to other people. You can listen to Holy Spirit through your pastor, or through a pastor, or through a teacher, through an evangelist, through a prophet, through a Christian, through an animal, a donkey, through nature. The point is, you're hearing what the Spirit is saying. And we were just looking at that. We were like, fresh oil is on the, you know, as we ride in the car. And we see the plane coming in and out of the clouds. That's what we're doing. We're in Christ in heavenly places. We don't leave the heavenly places. The plane didn't come back down to the earth. It was just made visible. And then it would disappear into the glory cloud again. The glory cloud. Wow, feel Shama. Hallelujah. Oh, Shatare Moko Sharebese. Yeah. It's just making Christ known, and then you just disappear. Remember when Jesus... Everyone's trying to make Jesus the king. You know, he was already the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you know. But he ran away. He disappeared. They were trying to take, and then another time, they're trying to, like his first day of ministry, they're going to kill him. Throw him off a mountain. You know, the Pharisees. Because he said that he's the anointing. This day is fulfilled in your hearing, you know. Hallelujah. Rise and shine for your whatever light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I don't know. I can't remember if it's Isaiah 61 or 60. But it says he passed right through them. He walked right through the people, and they couldn't even throw him off a mountain. He hid himself in the temple, you know. Hallelujah. Shabbat. Yeah, hallelujah. So that's what we're supposed to do. Wherever the anointing is manifesting, that's where you need to be. If the glory is manifesting when you're watching videos, watch videos. If the glory is manifesting when you're reading the Bible out loud, read the Bible out loud. If the glory is manifesting when you're speaking, like you're learning Chinese lessons, then stay with that until the glory lifts, and then you follow the glory cloud. Hallelujah. That's what they did in the Old Testament. Moses, he would walk in the glory cloud. I mean, they would follow. It was a cloud by day and fire by night. Hallelujah. You know, the glory cloud was leading them, man. That cloud was Christ, right? Or that rock was Christ. What was that? The rock that gave him waters? Hallelujah. Whatever, I can't think straight. Doesn't matter. I hear a lot of planes flying around. Shabbat. Oh, Rabbah Sheke. Me and my wife were just talking, like, when I feel the glory really, really strong, where it's like, you're incapable of doing human activities like regular things. You're capable of doing it. It's hard. My mouth goes numb. Like my mouth goes numb, and for her hands start leaking this glory out. I can't leak the glory out of my hands. I don't know. She has that, and mine is speaking. And I noticed we just put two and two together. I noticed like I'm the one who makes all the videos. You know, I'm the one who's doing it. Talking about all the glory and stuff like that, and I get totally whacked by that. And when she puts her hands on people, like the anointing comes through her hands and touches, the Holy Spirit touches people. And I just realized, like, she's kind of camera shy, and I don't really lay hands on like anybody except for maybe my kid and maybe my wife. I'm praying for stuff and rebuking stuff, but it's like God's like put us together as like a balance. you know, husband and wife were made one flesh, you know, for the body, where the body of Christ. But yeah, we balance each other out so that, you know, God can flow through us in different measures. Like where her weakness is, I'm stronger. Where my weakness is, she's stronger. Like my wrists are even a little bit screwed. I injured them at work a couple years ago. So like, and she's like gifted to make all this stuff. She can sew stuff. She's just releasing all this stuff. And I don't know, man. My gift is like just, I love God, and I just talk about my relationship with God. It makes it so easy. And she's a little bit camera shy, so whatever. You know, so, you know, in our weakness, he's made strong. You know, let the Lord just flow through all your weaknesses, and then we'll be strong in the power of his might through you. Shema. Be strong in the power of his might. Oh yeah, I was talking to someone on Facebook today about, what is it, we're talking about hell and heaven and stuff like that. I had this sudden urge to like just do all the studying on hell. You know, Tartarus is the prison for the fallen angels, where they've been shackled in chains. You can check it out in Peter and Jude and that. And then there's Hades, there's Gehenna, there's Tartarus, hell, and there's the lake of fire where all these things will be cast into. It's the eternal hell for the fallen angels, demons, and wicked men. You know, Jesus said, "Depart me from me, I never knew you," into eternal, you know, punishment or whatever, and all this stuff. We were talking about, what was I going to talk about? We're talking about all these things on Facebook. Holy Spirit, help me. Shabbat. Anyway, there was some revelation there. I just can't remember it right now. Shukka. Let's take a deep breath of the Lord. Take a deep breath. The Ruach. Take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you're the temple of the Holy Spirit is living in you. And in Him, you're moving, you're living, and you have your very being in Him. So that he's closer than the very natural air that you breathe. Because you're breathing. He's the very sustenance of life that's keeping you alive. Hallelujah. So take a breath of him. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, I thank you for more spiritual life. Thank you, Lord. I can't remember what I was going to say about the hell thing and the heaven thing. You know, it's good to have balance. I love to talk about the glory and heaven and angels and all the things that I've seen, but I've also seen parts of hell. And it's like, you know, our Father, we're made in the image of God, right? And he sees clearly into hell. He sees clearly into heaven. Light and darkness are nothing before him. You know, he sees clearly. And we're growing up to be and returning to the image of God. We're growing up into our head. And if he's the head, we can see the way he sees, right? God, I give you my eyes so I can see with your eyes, you know? So, hallelujah. Don't get all caught up in the doctrines there. Because some people are getting a little bit weird. And I don't know. They just have all these weird doctrines. And they just, like, they go off and they start throwing all this weird stuff into the atmosphere. And it's just like, well, that's not the glory. That's not the presence of God. It's just kind of not... It's not fruitful. I want to grow. I want to eat the substance of Christ and leak him everywhere I go. You know what's good fruit? When you listen to someone and you leave that video or that audio in his presence, you're talking with face to face, more hungry for God than when you first went to them. That's when you know you're growing. That's what happened to me today. I didn't want to do anything natural anymore. I just wanted to live in the glory, like, because it's, boom, substance, reality, virtue, peace, joy, love, you know, reality just crashed through my entire screen on my computer. The anointing is tangible. Meanwhile, if we're talking about it, it's like Elijah's bones, you know? When you release the anointing, it's an eternal substance that does not pass away. The anointing is a substance that does not pass away. That's why Elisha's bones, it raised that dead man Like, they threw a dead man into his grave, and then he got back up again. It's the same thing when you release the anointing, when you speak, when you decree things in the anointing, those are eternal. That's why Jesus could say, my words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. You know, and his words will not pass away, because they were spoken in the glory, they were spoken in the anointing. Hallelujah. They will not fall to the ground, but they will remain in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. And they will perform that which God sent them forth to do, because they were spirit words and life. And Jesus is a life-giving spirit. And you know what? We're made in his image. So you can release the life through the spirit, in the spirit, through your spirit. You know, we're the body of Christ collectively, you know, living stones built up into a spiritual house. It's a spiritual house, not a natural building made with bricks by the hands of man. It's spiritual stones built by the Christ, by the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now it's Christ through you, manifest glory. Hallelujah. Tearing down everything that the enemy has built. You know, the rock is what kills giants, man. The rock is what destroys arguments. The rock gives forth its living waters to wash away all the serpent food, which is dust. Rock is revelation. Hallelujah. Shema. You know, when the serpent tested Jesus in the wilderness, he's like, turn these stones to bread. But that's what those are. You know, the revelation is our food. But you don't do it the enemy's way. You only do it, you don't obey. Like the enemy might use the right words, but it's the wrong spirit. You have to do it. That's why Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father, like I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. It was the same thing in the wilderness. It wasn't the Father speaking those things to him. It was a demon. It might have been the right words. You know, turn these rocks into loaves of bread, because that's what revelation is. It's the bread of his presence. It helps you grow up into your head. It helps you grow spiritually. You feast on the rock. You feast. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the rock. He's our daily bread. You know, his living words. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God does man live. That's our daily bread. It's God's spirit words giving us nutrients in the spirit to grow and live and be mature and to walk in this world and manifest the kingdom of heaven. You know, we're the new Jerusalem come down from heaven to manifest new Jerusalem. Heaven. So that it's on earth as it is in heaven. Through the sons of God manifesting the reality of heaven. Through our gates. You know, how many gates were on New Jerusalem there? 12 or something like that? Hallelujah. The government of God coming through his bride. The wife of the Lamb. Shabbat. That holy city. Shatakere Moshe. And you are a city set on a hill. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, right? Cannot be hidden. Everyone in the spirit realm sees it. It's that radiation of that radiating glory, that light of the world, Christ in you, manifesting through you, through your gates, into the earth, bringing, you're the light of the world now. Read Matthew, you know, chapter 5, 6, and 7, and 8. You're the light of the world. But how do you do that? How do you release the light? Well, you let him live through your very core of your being. You give everything to God, and then God's everything through you. And there's no blockades. Nothing gets stopped up. So a good way to grow in that is like, yeah, just sit under people who are walking way more sauce than you. That's what I've been doing all day today. So far, I've just been listening to these teachings. There's such a wonderful peace. And because that's where the glory is manifesting. I'm staying there today. Hallelujah. Stay in the sauce, man. I put on my Facebook yesterday that, I like to have my daily bread soaked in the sauce, because crumbs are for the bitches. You know, a bitch is a dog, you know. You know, we don't need crumbs falling from our master's table. The king has called us to come sit with him and sup with him at the king's table. We're the children, know, sons of Most High God, we get to sit at His table. He prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Why? Because everyone sees us feasting. When you feasted on the Lamb that goes in you will come out through you for all the spirit world to see. They can smell that Lamb on your breath. Hallelujah. And it terrifies the works of darkness. How do you destroy the works of the devil? The Bible says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace. You know, let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart, and that will crush everything that the enemy has planted in your heart under your feet. Because that's where the enemy belongs. Somebody has brain damage from somebody's foot. You can crush Satan's head with Jesus' foot. You know, you're the body of Christ, so the body has a foot. And that foot's there for a reason. He's already crushed Satan underneath his feet. You just remain in him and continually crush him and crush him and crush him as he tries. It's like everything that Jesus did, he's the way. And he does it through your life. You know? So that you're become an overcomer too, but just by remaining in the overcomer. That's why who you overcomes will sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. As you overcome, that peace comes into your heart, not only into your heart, but out through you, because the heart is a projector. The heart projects whatever's in it. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Right? Out of the heart flows the issues of life. So out of the heart will flow the issues of God's life in you. Out of your heart will flow the peace of God that passes all understanding. It'll bring an atmosphere of peace around you that washes away any understanding that's not of God. It washes it away like a river of living water, like torrents of living water. Hallelujah. Shabba. You know, you can drink as much of God as you want. You know, draw near to God, He will draw near to you. You'll find that He's already been drawing near to you. Take one step closer towards God, you'll find that He's already taken a step closer towards you. It's just you're stepping out by faith into what's already there. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, He's already there. He's already the air you breathe. He's already in your heart. If you've received Him, test yourselves whether to see if you're in the faith or not. Do you not know that Christ is in you? Now let Him out. Let Him come through you and fill your atmosphere. Showing. Shatay. Hallelujah. Shadabakurabe. Boom, yeah. Let your atmosphere be filled with glory. Let your atmosphere be filled with the presence of God right now. I plead the blood of Jesus on you. The blood of Jesus is the life of God. It's been poured out for the whole world. It washes away the sins of the world. Some people don't believe in hell. And I did a study on it and it says that God created hell for the devil and his angels. It was actually something that was created. So how could something that was created not exist? You know, even the devils were afraid to go into the bottomless pit, which is called the abyss. Hallelujah. You know, why would they be afraid to be go somewhere that doesn't exist? You know, hallelujah. I don't focus on hell, though. I focus on heaven and the glory. So the point is, like, just study the words out in the Bible if you don't understand it. Don't focus on it. I asked God, like, I was confused about it. I said, God, how come you would create such a horrible place called hell? And I was laying down on my chair at work, Shate, and I went all the way back to the beginning where God was creating, and I saw who God was. God was love. Like, He didn't have love. He was the very substance of unconditional love. And I saw His motives as He created everything. He created life out of love. Love is selfless. It doesn't seek its own. It seeks that the other will be promoted. And He created everything out of this perfect, out of perfect motives, out of love. And And I understood right there. It's like, wow, he didn't create hell to hurt people. It's like, the devil, he created that for the enemy and his angels. It said, that's what the Bible says. God created hell for the devil and his angels. Because he's given them everything that they've sowed. They'll have the rewards. It's the law in the spirit realm. You reap what you sow, right? And heaven, he created for everything that he's sown. He's sown his son into the earth to bring many sons into glory, into righteousness, so that we can live in heaven. The more you worship God, the more you realize what he's like, who he is like. What? That's why in bondage, there's no bondage in heaven, man. That's what the enemy puts over people. You know, that's why when God wanted the Israelites to go into the wilderness to worship him for 3 days, Pharaoh didn't want that. He wanted them in bondage to build bricks and to be enslaved into a system. And God wants to promote you through, the more you worship God in spirit and truth, the more you will be promoted in the spirit and in his truth. You'll reap what he's sown. He sows righteousness, purity, love. The fruits of the spirit will come busting through your life. So when you die and you give up your last breath, your God who you serve, that's who comes to get you. You know, you can reap in all, like his reward is with him. He's your God, Jesus Christ, you know, God the Father, Holy Ghost. He comes to get you and he brings you into the fullness of, like, you know, what already is. Like, you'll have understanding because you'll sit on the throne. You'll see eternity past eternity. If you can see eternally as you sit on his throne. I've sat on his throne once, and I was ruined for, I couldn't even talk about it for 3 months. And he rebuked me in love. That's why he took me there, is to rebuke me, because I had conditional love. And you need to have a balance. You need to see, like, from, you need to be able to see into hell and into heaven. Why? Because if you're made in God's image, God sees clearly, perfectly, into hell and into heaven. Light and darkness are the same to him. He can see through them both. You know, nothing is hidden from his eyes. And we want to be like him in every way. Shama. So, yeah. And whoever you worship, your gods will be wrapped around you for eternity. So, you know, that prophet there? Bob Jones. When he died years ago, and he was standing in this lineup, and people had dollar bills wrapped around them. And there was these lines. Some were going into Jesus, through Jesus, into heaven. And he was in the lineup, and he saw people with other people with, like, you know, alcohol bottles, whatever. I don't even know how to explain it. You can Google it or something. He'll explain it a lot better than me. But people had dollar bills wrapped around them. You know, whatever your God was that you served on the earth, and as you gave your last breath, if your God isn't Jesus, if he's not your Savior, then those things will be wrapped around you for eternity. Shama. And did you know that the sting of death is sin? So it's not death that kills you. Well, it is, but it's the sting of death. It's like once you enter into, like, say you don't have Jesus as your Savior, your sins sting you for eternity. Not just your sins, but the sins of all those around you. Just like the atmosphere when you're in heaven. You feel the presence of God. An angel walks by. You get hit with the waves that angel's carrying. The cherubim have different degrees of glory. You get hit with waves of those glory. Well, it's going to be the same thing in hell. Your sins will sting you for eternity. Plus the sins of those around you. Like someone who walks in like rage and madness. And they say they're tormented right beside. You'll feel that rage, that torment, the spirits, the demons of rage. Like all that stuff is there. You just don't go there. Give your life to Jesus. Live for God now. You know, you don't have to go to hell. You know, there's Gehenna, which is a garbage dump. It was symbolic of, like, you know, everything gets burned up and destroyed, you know. Well, it's eternal destruction. It's a symbolic picture of a parable of what's going to happen to the devil and his angels and wicked men, which is the lake of fire, where hell and all that gets thrown into that. Some people say, well, that's for refining. Hell is a fire, the hellfire, God's a redeeming God, and he is, but not all fire is for refining, because Mr. D does not get out of hell. I read the Bible, it says that he's tormented day and night, tormented, The fire of God does not torment you. The fire of God feels good because it burns off impurity. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. The fire of God does not save you. You know, the fire of God refines you. Or maybe there's somewhere else saying, I don't know, whatever, somewhere. But only the blood of Jesus can take away sins. And that's why the devil, he's not redeemable. He cannot receive the blood of Jesus. And once you perish, that's it. You got to give your heart to Jesus. And whoever you serve as your God, that's where you go to be with forever. And whatever. Hallelujah. I got a bunch of like scriptures. I'm just making a random video now because I felt a lot of sauce earlier. And I still do feel this sauce. Hallelujah. I don't know, man. I don't know why hell people just make a big deal. I guess they say, well, because God's a loving God and He would never send anyone to hell. And I don't know. I read the Bible and there's a place created for the devil and his angels. There's Tartarus, where angels are held in shackles and chains, you know. There's also Sheol. A lot of people say that's the grave. You know, it's just a natural grave. Well, why does the Bible say, like, don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can, you know, destroy both the body and soul in hell or something like that, or Gehenna. Are you going to fear an earthworm? You know, oh, man, oh, these doctrines. I don't know. If there's no glory on it, whatever, like, just focus on Jesus, focus on heaven, and I'm sure, like, God will make... Listen, man, whatever, fire on your life, fire on my life. I don't even want to debate with all that stuff, because I noticed that everyone, whoever wants to talk about that, they just go and manifest demons on me. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses, you feel all the demons jumping out at you, and some of my friends on Facebook, and whatever. We're all growing, not in doctrines, we're growing in Christ. All right, peace out. My wife is here. We're going to go eat some fish. We're going to go eat. Want to go eat some fish? I'm making a video.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I was
that's fine. I was just talking about hell. It was getting really awkward. All right. Yeah, so peace on your face, man. Let the peace of God cover your face. And you don't want to go to hell. Go to heaven.